Folks, and welcome to each and every one this morning. Boy, you're looking good out there this morning. We have a good group this morning. Everybody looks pretty cheery. Good to see folks back that hasn't been here with us for a week or so. Great. It's a beautiful day, and we just enjoy the rich blessings of God. Thank you for being here to be to honor God, to encourage one another, to draw near to the Lord Jesus Christ and his work in our lives. Thank you for being here. May you be encouraged through our worship service. Share with you a few lines from Psalms 149. Reads like this. Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in his congregation of saints. That's beautiful. Let Israel rejoice in him that made him. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in a dance. Let them sing praise unto him with a timbrel and a harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beauty the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let us praise this great God we have. He's so good.
For the opening song this morning, we're using 310, first and last verse, and Biddy will have the prayer. It's
awesome. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make sorrow, he's my comfort, in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roam. He's a lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He will never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here. While I live, my faith in you is blessed will. A wall of bar about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he's a hungry soul shall feel. In sweeping up to glory, I'll see his blessed face. Where rivers of delight shall ever roam. He's a lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul.
Amen. He sure is. Let us pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we thank you for this privilege that we have of joining together as a church family to honor you and to praise you and give thanks to you for your goodness. You have been so good to us this last week. You have never failed. As always, you have been so faithful to us. You provided generously. You've cared for us and helped us through the things that we had to deal with in this past week, and we just praise you for your goodness, Heavenly Father, in helping us. So now, Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we stand before you, each and every one, because we love you, and we know that you love us, Heavenly Father, and you went to great depths to show us that. And so, Heavenly Father, we want to just honor you. We want to thank you. We want to praise you. We want, Heavenly Father, to do your will here in the Porter area. So now, Heavenly Father, we pray you will bless each one present here. Encourage us with the songs, with the word. And Heavenly Father, we just want to be directed in the good things that you'd have us to do that we might share with others. Heavenly Father, your wonderful love through Christ Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen.
For our communion hymn, I'm going to use 375, 1 and 4.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we humbly come before you to accept this important sacrificial offering in your name. And pray you may strengthen us, and guide us and guard us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.
Okay, first things first, we have a young lady here that has a birthday today, and everybody has a birthday on Sunday, we get to sing happy birthday. Tina back there is birthday today. Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday dear Tina. Happy birthday to you. All right. Again, it's good to see you folks. We haven't seen for a week or so. See everybody back. We still have a couple out for various reasons. A couple things. Let's see. Doodle wanted me to say to you folks, tell you he wants to thank you very much for all your cards, calls, and things that you've done. Help him out there. It's really encouraging, and they don't doodle to know that people are caring about you. That really helped me through my little spot, and I know it helps people when you encourage them in various ways. And so we're glad that you're back, Doodle, and we just continue to pray you'll heal right on up. And Ron's doing well back there. He said he's getting right on along, and so you guys are you two guys going to be really stepping out here in a little bit. Yeah, so we're glad for that. We're glad to see. It's just so good how God has servants and works on us and does all those wonderful things to help us. That's great. Pauline is back today, so that's great. Who else has been missing? All right, we're just so, yeah, we get him. And so we're so glad that you're here, and we hope that you'll stay well. All right, as we look at our prayer list, though, we have several that we want to make mention of. First of all, almost forgot Brian. Brian made mention of this Marine Corps birthdays, veterans, you know, and so forth. So we want to be mindful of them and certainly be thankful for all the service they do and such for us. So be mindful of that. As we look at our prayer list, then we do have Virgil, who is absent, as you notice, and he has had a little bit of difficulties. So keep Virgil in your prayers that he'll be able to be well and be with us and such. And who else we have on here? Richard Tony, he's having a little difficulty with the medicine, getting them arranged for him to get him going. So he's having a little bit of difficulty with that. And so pray that that'll work out for him. Who else? Okay. But keep each and every one in your prayers. And certainly it's quite encouraging. As we said in our Bible study this morning, the Apostle Paul always writes to the congregations that he's spoke to and so forth, and always says that they're praying for him. That's great encouragement to know that one another is praying for each other. So take your list and go up and down it. Talked to my brother Grimm this week, and he's doing right well. He's set up now to take the chemo treatments. He's got six chemo treatments. They are sure that they were assured that they got the cancer. Then he had the heart attack, and now they're back. Then that's doing well, so he's back now and going to give him the six treatments just to make sure that it doesn't come back on him. And so he's doing right well, and we're pleased and happy and praise the Lord for that. What else? Who else? Okay. Our nation, all the leaders, and now we're going to see a great change, a great turnover in leadership in our state and in our country, so to speak. So let's keep in prayer that those things and interchange and people that's going to go into those places of authority and so forth, and that they'll do good there, for that they'll look to God, that they will get direction from God and do good for mankind. The nursing homes and the caretakers there, caregivers and so forth, tremendous work they have to do. And if you ever there or get a chance, or if you know somebody that works there, see them in a Kroger store or something, well, thank them for their labors. Those people that work in the hospitals and care for those who can't care for themselves, tremendous job they do, and they're devoted to that. And so any way that you can encourage them and thank them, certainly pray for them that things will go well. As we come to our prayer time, then don't forget each other. Look around and see who's here and who's not here. Those who are not here maybe are in some need of different things. Pray for them, and then pray for each other that God will just use us in a good way and help us and bless us, and just things will go good. As we come to our prayer time,
I wanted to say that I have a good prayer or praise report. Sylvia Rose, Keith's aunt, has been on the prayer list for a long time, fighting cancer. She's come back clean with the cancer.
And praise the Lord.
Praise God for that.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, and then I wanted to say John, our son Jonathan, is supposed to have had surgery tomorrow, but they had to cancel it to repair his shoulder, where he's got that, I forget, the brain cell clusters in his brain. The anesthesiologist didn't want to put him to sleep till he sees that that's cleared up. Okay. So that's put that off again. So
all right.
Just keep praying for them.
A lot of people has different needs, and we know that God is a big God, and he can handle all those things. Let's just share our concern and be prayerful for them. God will do the rest. Amen.
Now, for prayer, hymn, use number 87, first and third verse, and Jerry will have a prayer. Let's all stand.
Oh, so are we weary and troubled. No light in the darkness you see. There's life for us.
morning, Father, to worship you in song and study your word. We know the love that you offer each and every one of us. We pray your blessing upon those that have been removed from the prayer list. Be a blessing to as well as ones that have been added on. Thank goodness for Doodle getting better. Richard, when he gets his medication straightened out, he'll be fine. Again, Father, watch over us, keep us safe as we leave this place today and be with our leaders of our country. That the decisions they make will be Christ-like. Again, Father, we thank you for all the blessings of life you give us. Thankful for your love and watch care over us. Guide, guard, direct us as you will. For these things we pray in your name.
Amen. The invitation hymn be number 331, 331. This time, Virginia is going to bring a special.
I'm going to try. Today is also Ron's birthday. Tuesday. I'll be okay. Anyway, this is for everybody we haven't had here for a while. It's for all the birthday people and just anybody that wants to listen to me. The chimes of times ring out the news, another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was it someone new? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. There is no night, for in his light you'll never walk alone. Always still at home, wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
Good morning. Virginia, I just love to hear you sing. You hit notes that I couldn't dream of hitting. Goodness gracious. I can imagine. Ooh, oh no. I don't know. I've tried the high notes for a while. You don't want to hear those, honey. I promise. get out on the hillside. You know, that's not the first time I've heard that. Maybe I should do it. All right. I'm going to try to stumble through this song. I got here, had a song to plan, and kind of had it in mind, then was asked to sing. And then all of a sudden, my throat kind of started getting a little scratchy and like, what's going on here? And it wasn't doing that when I was on my way here singing Christmas carols in my car, okay? So I'm thinking that's just the devil saying, oh no, your throat's scratchy, don't sing this morning. But apparently this is a song that probably needs to be heard. Or maybe I just need to sing it because I need to listen to it too. Who knows? So we'll try it. Just bear with me. I have journeyed through the long dark night, out on the open sea, by faith alone, sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching over me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I've had visions and I've had dreams. I've even held them in the palm of my hand, but I never knew they could slip right through like they were only tiny grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty that these eyes have seen. But it was in the night, through the storms of my life, that's where God, he proved his love for me. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. The anchor holds in spite of my storm. Aren't you glad this morning for that anchor? I mean, it doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter what you had planned. God might have a different plan, and he'll show it to you if you just listen. And it doesn't matter if you fall down, he's right there to pick you back up. He's that stronghold. He's that anchor. And he's there and he holds steadfast no matter what.
Thank you, ladies, for your specials. We appreciate that. We're always blessed. The choir blesses, and we're always thankful and blessed to have specials to share with us. Great messages. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Back to the book of John this morning. Share a little bit of some thoughts from the book of John. And actually, what I'm looking at here this morning is we have in your Bible, in your leaflet there, John's testimony of Jesus. John wants us to really know Jesus and to know who he really is. And knowing him for who he really is very powerful in our lives. Last week we looked at chapter 6 and we talked about the feeding of the 5,000, really, that recorded there. Matthew tells us that it's possibly, when we think about it, that could have been 20,000 plus there because he mentions the women and the children. John just talks about the men. And we can understand that where men is, there's women. Where men and women are, there's children. But for the reason for most of that crowd that was there, or a majority of the crowd, or however we want to, some of the crowd, is that they're going to Jerusalem to feast day. And Passover is about to take place. And so they're coming. And as we read that and we know that Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee and so forth, but while he was crossing up along the Sea of Galilee, from each side people were coming in throngs and going to Jerusalem. And so there we can very easily see that there's just a tremendous group of men and women and children. Because the men and women would take their children to Jerusalem to celebrate and to worship. We know that Jesus went to celebrate with and to worship at Jerusalem. So that counts for this tremendous group. But where Jesus went, there was always a tremendous following to him. Every place we read and see Jesus, there is a tremendous following. And the story here is no doubt probably the best known story, I guess it's fair to say, of the scripture. If I were to ask you, to just kind of come up to you and ask you what story in the Bible you remembered best, probably most of you would say the feeding of the 5,000. That was taught to you when you were just children in Bible school and so forth. So you could be acquainted with that. This is a monumental miracle that took place here. And it's the only one, as we said last week, recorded in all four Gospels. John does record 7 miracles. The other 6 miracles that John records in his book is not in the other Gospels. But this one is in all 4. And that makes it, I guess, extra important, or seemed to me very important, and we ought to take notice of. And so we have a lot of different types of miracles. This one is a monumental miracle, and it demonstrates the creative power of Jesus. We could talk about the restoring miracles, and that was, you know, restoring the sight, the hearing, limbs, giving the strength back to them. That's restoring miracles. And then there are the transforming miracles. That is, Jesus transformed the water into wine. So we have that type of miracles. This is the only creative miracle that Jesus did. And I say creative miracle because he created this tremendous picnic, as we called it last week, out of sheer nothing. 5 little cakes. They're just like little biscuits, only they are not raised. Maxine likes flat biscuits. I like a little fluff in mine, like Pauline puts in her biscuits. She has those big fluffy biscuits. But these are just little flat biscuit cakes, like 5 of them and 2 fishes. So that's just practically nothing there. And Jesus takes that and multiplies that, this miraculous thing that he did. So he created out of that enough to feed 20,000 plus there in that day. A very monumental miracle taking place. That what makes it so monumental is that the great number that participated there. We see great followers of Jesus, and we could see thousands of followers of Jesus, but Jesus usually is healing, and he will heal whoever's needing healing in those groups that comes to him. We don't know how many at a time that he has done that. We know that it's several. But here, there was 20,000 at least participating here. They not only participated, they ate of this miracle. That just makes that a much more powerful a thing that took place here. And so because of this massiveness of this miracle, no one can deny it. No one can deny it happened. No one could say that it was done magically, or it was done a sleight of the hand, or it was done with witchcraft. They just could not deny that. Suppose that some of these people make their way on into Jerusalem, and they would be excited, I would think, about what has taken place, and they were a part of it. And they might be then talking about this miracle that took place outside the Jerusalem here on this mountainside. And they would be telling about it. And somebody in Jerusalem who was not a part of that gathering might say, oh, that just don't sound right. That couldn't happen. Well, you would visualize, wouldn't you? Here would be thousands of people, hundreds and thousands of them gathered. And they'd say, oh, yes, it did. We were there. We ate, and we were filled. They could not deny that it happened. And so Jesus' miracles could not be denied, period. And especially this one here was not denied. Do you know that through through all the New Testament, all the miracles that Jesus did, there's not one miracle that Jesus did that was denied or rejected by the people. Even the unbelievers accepted the fact that Jesus did a supernatural thing. He worked a miracle. They could not deny it. When Jesus touched the eye of the blind man and he could see, who could deny that? When Jesus caused the deaf to hear, who could say otherwise? When Jesus touched the lame man and he got up and carried his bed away, who would deny that? All the witnesses there, they just could not say it didn't happen, or it was a trick, or it was fake at all. They could not say these miracles were fakes. They were without human explanation, really. They could not explain how he could take those five little cakes and two fishes and feed 20,000 plus people. But you see, the people did not reject the miracles of Jesus. What they did, they rejected the miracle worker. They rejected Jesus, not because of his miracles. Again, I say you will not find in the New Testament any place at all where there's any doubt or anybody makes any type of accusation that any miracle that Jesus did was deniable. They had to say it was a supernatural work of a man. And we'll see who that man was in a little bit. The Gospel of John differs from Matthew, Mark, and Luke in that he didn't attempt to cover the same material. I don't know, but possibly John wrote his letter, his book, after Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and maybe he had read them. Nevertheless, he does not cover the material that they did. He has a good reason for that. John wants to introduce Jesus to us. He didn't give the genealogy of Jesus as Matthew did. He didn't give the birth of Jesus, and he said nothing about his childhood, about him growing up. He didn't record numerous miracles. As I said, there's only several miracles in the book of John. And one of them is in all of them. Only seven in the book of John. So he didn't try to record numerous miracles. He doesn't set forth or record really too much of anything. He didn't even record the Great Commission. He didn't record the ascension into heaven. He didn't write about those at all. He just wanted to tell us and teach us and help us to know and understand who Jesus was. Down through the ages, the Gospel of John has been well known and received as being the truth of God divinely revealing that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Lord of Lords. And to show this, John had to go back to the beginning. And we go back to see what John says there. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, I'm quite sure, and maybe to some of you, maybe not, and maybe too, but when I began studying the Bible, that was quite confusing for me. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. If you notice that, it's got a capital W in that word there. And that then is indicating that's speaking of someone. Of course, we know now who that is. The Word become flesh. That's Jesus. So the Word was Jesus. And it's not saying that Jesus is another God, as JWs do. And you know, the JWs is very, very dishonest when it comes to talking about Jesus. And they just want to claim him to be not divine at all. It certainly doesn't say that Jesus is a created being either. It says that he was in the beginning with God. In the beginning with God. It says that Jesus and God were together before anything began as we know it. What it does say, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. John is saying Jesus is equal with God. Jesus is every bit God except the Father. Now, I think when we get the full conception of Jesus, of who he really is, and what he has done and is doing, it ought to encourage us even a little greater, whoever we might be in our walk. John is saying that Jesus is equal with God, the Father. Jesus, again I say, is every bit God except God the Father. Well, John 10 and 30, Jesus says himself, he and the Father are one. He and the Father are one. This meaning they are God. When we say God, and to most of you I think understand that, when we say God, we see God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now I know there's a lot of teaching that talks about God being solely one, that he then becomes the Son, and he is the Holy Spirit. You just can't read the Scripture that way. We understand there is the three-person Godhead. God and Jesus, the Holy Spirit. They're all separate entities, so to speak. God speaks, Jesus does, the Holy Spirit lives in us and works. Now, you just can't put them all into one thing. those are three separate, some, I don't want to say personalities. There's a different word I should use for that. Entities, I don't know, that might be a good word. But they are. They exist. Paul is writing about Jesus, and he's writing to the Philippians 2, 6, and 8, and he says this, who being in the form of God, speaking of Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself no reputation, but made of himself no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross. There is no doubt, folks, in my mind, that in the beginning was the Word, and that Word was Jesus, was reference to Jesus. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, before Jesus grew up in the little burg of Nazareth, before he went doing good, healing the sick and casting out the demons and giving sight to the blind, curing lepers and causing the lame to walk, before he was nailed to the cross, before he came out of the tomb, before he ascended into heaven and sat down on the right hand of the Father and promised to come again, Jesus was. Jesus existed. Now I know there's people that talks about different things of how that works. That's the way it is. That's biblical teaching right there. John says then in verse 3, all things were made by Jesus. All things were made him. Without him was not anything made. Jesus then, we talk about God knowing all about everything, which he does. Jesus knows everything about you. He knows everything about this universe. He knows how it operates. He knows how it works. He made it. Nothing was made without him. So that tells us that Jesus had to be before the universe. Jesus was before the beginning. He was with God. Christ, you know, because simply, it's simply this, you know, that the worker must be older than the product. That the writer, the author, is before the word, is older than his writing. The artist then is older than his production. And the architect is greater than his building. So we know that Jesus then was in the beginning, again, verifying that. Jesus is not using, or John is not using the word God in any inferior way. At all. It's not that the word was a God. It's not that the word was like God, but the word was God. Jesus was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. You know, there's a teaching from a religious group that says that Mary, and this is what's right in their they write this right out in their material. It is in their books and in what they call their Bible that says Mary is the mother of God. What does that mean? That means then that Mary had to be before God. Just doesn't work, does it? So you can see why John is wanting probably for us to understand Jesus really is God. You know, no place in the scripture, and Maxine took and kind of raised her eyebrows and looked at me when I said, you know, there's no place in the scripture where Jesus calls Mary his mother. No. That's interesting, isn't it? You would think there was, wouldn't it? There's not. He always calls her woman. He's made a woman. But he didn't short her in any way, don't get me wrong. But he never did address her as mother. One time close to that is when his mother came and his brothers and sisters came. They were outside of the group and they were calling for Jesus. Jesus is going to go into Galilee some other places, and they just didn't want him to go. And so his mother, Mary, and his brothers and sisters called for him, and they said, your mother is calling for you. And you know what Jesus said? Who is my mother? Who is my brother? Who is my sister? He says, and looks over and he points at him, he said, all that believe in me is my mother, my sister, and my brother. He didn't short her, you know, in any way, don't get me wrong, but he never did call her mother. So how could they come up with something like that? Now, why did John go to the length? Why did John think it's so important for us to know that Jesus is God, the second person of the Godhead, so to speak, as we can understand that? Why does he think that that's so important to us? Well, we would have to turn back here to John 20 and 30 and 31, and it reads like this. John said, and John calls Jesus miracles signs. We read the others talking of miracles, but when John says signs, that's miracles. He did a sign, he did a miracle to prove who he was and so forth. But it says that here in John 20 and 31, and many other signs did truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. So what's Jesus, or what John's saying is, he wrote seven, particularly in his book, six of them that's in his own book and no place else. He just gave us a little tad bit of what was, a taste of them, just a preview of what Jesus did. Because he said, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. Well, why is that important to say that? Well, read on, and it says, and he says, but these are written that you may know, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Why is that important? That we believing, should we believe Jesus, and that believing we might have life. So what is he saying? Here is a person, Jesus, who is God. And our believing him of who he is certainly will bring about what he said he came to do. John 1:11 says, you know, that and Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. That's a sad sentence right there to me. That's a sad verse. For this one who John makes so plain is God, and then for those who look upon him would reject him. They had from the Old Testament promises. They had promises of one coming. You know, the Old Testament people had trouble understanding God and who he was and Jesus. They didn't understand, really. Because in the Old Testament time, the Jews, what did they believe in? They believed in God, Jehovah God. That's all they believed in, really. But don't you know how simple it would have been for them if they would have looked at and understand what Moses wrote? Moses said, God said, let us. That was back in the beginning. But all through the Old Testament, you will not find them looking at another one in the Godhead. They're only talking and looking at Jehovah God. If they had only looked at that one little word, us, they had have known something greater than what they did. And they believed, though, that God was going to send someone, but they believed that he was going to send a prophet or Elijah or something. You know, that was a question of it, wasn't it? They didn't realize that back here in this one in this us would be the one who would come and to save mankind. Well, so much for that. But our believing here. And so John says, but he says here in verse 12, the next verse he says, but as many as received him, and this received has the meaning of believed in him, gave he the power, and that word also could be translated into permission, to become the sons of God, even to them that believed in on his name. Now I want you to notice in there, if you're looking at your scripture there, and some of you are, that word believe, that doesn't say those that believed on him. It doesn't say those that will believe on him. That is a present tense word. That's still good today. Not somebody that we would believe on. Not somebody we will believe on. Somebody that we believe on. Present tense word. And so he says here, even them that believe on his name, he gave this power to become sons of God, or this permission to become sons of God. John wants us to know. He wants us to introduce Jesus as to who he is. He wants us to know that truly Jesus is the Son of God. You know, I believe that you all believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But you know, also, there are people out here in the world and people in some other religious groups who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And they've got various different tales which just doesn't ring the bell right. John wants us to know that truly Jesus is Son of God, that he is divine, and that he is equal with God in every sense except God the Father. Jesus makes that plain himself. He uses that great word, I am. I counted and I forgot now how many times that Jesus used the word I am in the book of John. And a great many of them is speaking to himself. We had a sermon here a while back about forgiveness of sins, and he said that these are done, that you can know that I, the Son of Man, have the right or have the power to forgive sins on earth. So we see that very powerfully in him. So John wants us to see truly that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Now, if we will really take that in our spirit, totally holy of who he is, that ought to change a little bit of our outlook on Jesus. I think sometimes we short Jesus. I don't short God at all, but I think sometimes we short Jesus and we want to go over his head and speak to God when we ought to be speaking to Jesus. You with me? If we do that, we're kind of belittling Jesus somewhat. And if we're not careful, we'll have him back down as a prophet that would come or something like that. But John wants us to understand, wants us to have completely in our mind who Jesus is. And Jesus is God. He was in the beginning with God, and he was God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And out of the love. And so why is it so important for us to see that? I think John 3:16 helped us a little bit to see that. Because we could go on and say, out of love for you and me and all mankind, Jesus, who was in the beginning with God, laid aside all the glories of heaven. Jesus came. The God-man came. And spent 33 years, just a very short time here on earth. so that you and I and all who would believe could spend eternity with him. Could spend eternity with him. Isn't that something? He laid aside his glory, came to earth, walked the dusty trails, was abused and misused, crucified, just so that short time, so that we could live eternity with him. John wants us to see this Jesus who was in the beginning will be there eternal. And if we have believed in him, we too have that promise of eternity. Exciting. I'm quite sure as John explained that to the early Christians and they read that book and grasped that, I'm quite sure it was exciting. And to know that Jesus sits at the right hand of God and was in the beginning with God and is God ought to make life worth living for him. Again, we say that John 20, 31, and many other signs truly Jesus did in the presence of his disciples that is not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that believing, you might have life through his name. Amen. If you don't have that, if you haven't believed in him, I want to assure you, this Bible says, Jesus was in the beginning with God, and Jesus was God. He was in the beginning with God. He can save you from your sins and give you the hope of eternal life. Stand with me as we sing the invitation hymn. First verse only. Thank you, folks, for being in the Lord's house. And I hope that as John writes it to us and wants us to really understand who Jesus truly is, I hope that will encourage you. I hope it will strengthen your walk with him. I hope that you will look to him knowing that he can work all things together for good for you, for those who love him. God bless you. Have a great week as you go forth to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the good people that make up the Porter Church. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for blessing them in such a wonderful way. Thank you for the love that they have for you and your son. Thank you, dear God, for the love that they have for one another. And now we pray, Heavenly Father, for each one present here this morning as we leave this place. Might you take them this week, Heavenly Father, and guide them in a good direction and guide them in a profitable direction. Guide them in a joyful week, Heavenly Father, a productive week, not only for themselves, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Thank you.